registered people that are still missing, or?
Yes, there are a few.
Okay, but we'll start slowly, and people might join us gradually.
Okay.
So this this presentation is being recorded, just so that you know. Thank you so much for registering and joining us for this presentation. Isabelle Girard and myself will be mainly doing the presentation. So Isabelle, come and say hello.
Hello.
So Isabelle is the person responsible for small children file at the public health level. And I work with her as a physician consultant. So I will mainly be doing a presentation for about, I hope, 20, 25 minutes. This is what I managed to do yesterday. And then we can have time for questions. Isabelle might have to leave at 1 exactly because I think she has other meetings, but I'll be able to stay on if people want to continue on the conversation. Just a few things about the participation process. So if you have questions during the presentation, you can write them in the chat, or you can wait for the question period and raise your hand. Otherwise, the PowerPoint will be available at the end of the presentation. And because this is recorded also, if you find it interesting, people will probably be able to have access to the PowerPoint and the recording afterwards. So if you know of colleagues who couldn't make it, maybe that's a way that they could have access to it. I'm not sure if I'm forgetting anything. Isabelle or Sandrine, would you like to add something to the introduction?
I think you did a very nice job introducing the workshop, and everything will be fine and you could start right away.
Right, thank you. So I will share my screen. It's always a bit of an exercise or a challenge for me, so hopefully this time. So are you seeing my slides now?
We're seeing, now we can see them. We're at definition. Sudden
yes.
Yeah.
A bit rough. We'll start at the beginning. So the topic today will be how we can prevent mortality in the children that are less than 1 year old, and specific emphasis will be placed on sudden infant death syndrome, and we'll review the situation in Nunavik. Just to give you a little bit of context, this webinar was thought to be important, especially following the publication of the article in Le Devoir, where the situation that was described was that the chief of police of the region had been asked to intervene in 12 cases of children dying in their home last year, 2021. And he's been working in the region for a couple of years, and he thought this was really a high number compared to his experience of previous years. So he took the initiative to alert the coroner's office. And this has allowed all the files of the infant investigations to be analyzed by the same coroner. Her name is Geneviève Thériault. And she's quoted in the article to say that indeed this is a cause for concern. So the article, the people that read the article that are working in the region contacted Isabelle often with a little bit of disarray and distress, saying, wow, the situation is really severe. What can I do? Have the impression that, you know, maybe not much is being done. How come we're not aware? People had many questions. So we decided with Isabelle and our public health director to put together a presentation that would try to bring the basics back to you so that people understand a little bit better what's exactly the regional situation in terms of infant mortality and sudden infant death syndrome. We'll also review what are the best practices in terms of preventing SIDS, and we'll tell you what's being applied in the region, and we'll end with how perhaps people that are interested can go a little bit further in supporting families in the region. So beginning with SIDS and infant mortality, it's very important to distinguish infant mortality from SIDS. So infant mortality rates, they refer to deaths of children before the age of one. And this is calculated over the number of live births for that year or period, which means that it already takes into account the fact that we have a high fertility rate. We say in our language in public health that this rate is corrected for the fact that we have many births in our region. So this allows to compare different populations. So it's not possible to say, for example, that maybe our infant mortality rates are higher because we have more births in our region. It's already taking into account in the indicator. In terms of the rates in our region, so we have here the rates for two periods of 5 years. We tend to coalesce years together because the numbers are very small in our population, and therefore they can vary a lot from year to year. So what we know is that between 2005 and 2010, 5 year period, there appears to be an increase in our infant mortality rates. But when you look at the margin of error, because of this variation from year to year, you can see that this increase is actually within the margin of error. Some years are higher, some years are lower, but in the end, we don't consider this increase to be statistically significant. What is really significant, however, is the gap between the Quebec rate and the Nunavik rate, where we say that we have, you know, probably four times the rate of Quebec rate in Nunavik. And when we look at the more recent stats, so the ones we have that are the most recent are 2015 to 2019, and we see that we have the same rate during this period as the one since 2010. So we think that basically since 2005, but especially since 2010, there hasn't been an increase in infant mortality rate in the region, but there has been always a very big gap with the Quebec rate. So that's really the issue here. When we look at the main cause of infant mortality in Nunavik, what we realize is that the main cause for almost half of infant mortality are due to birth defects, mostly cardiac and neurological, or pregnancy and delivery complications, namely low birth weight, extreme prematurity, or the delivery complications, so something going wrong at the delivery. This is the main cause of infant mortality. It is not SIDS. SIDS come in second with almost one-third of infant mortality is due to SIDS in our region. What we have to realize is that trauma, so death that would be due to shaken baby syndrome or suffocation or a fall of the baby or infant neglect, things like this, are very low a very, very minor cause of infant mortality in Nunavik. Now, what is SIDS exactly? What we know is still very vague about sudden infant death syndrome, unfortunately. The definition means that it's a baby that is less than 1 year old that is found dead during their sleep. And this is a very unexpected death because it's a baby that was quite well before. It's not a sick baby in the hospital. And even after we do an autopsy and complete investigations, we still do not find a cause. So what goes into sudden infant death are not babies that are suffocated. They're not babies that are suffering from injury. They are all the causes where we cannot find anything. It doesn't seem to be an obvious infection, not an obvious source of trauma, and it's not an obvious suffocation. And so it's kind of a bag of things that have a very vague cause. So sometimes in the literature, we call SIDS the diagnosis without disease. It's basically you call it SIDS when you can't find the disease that has caused the death. So finding the cause of a syndrome like this when there's no disease is very difficult. So we don't know what causes SIDS basically. What we know, however, is that babies that have died from SIDS seems to have an overlap of multiple factors in their history. So all we know is that there are some factors that are associated with SIDS, but we cannot say that these are the cause of SIDS. And the factors are very well known. An important part is the sleeping position, exposition to secondhand smoke, overheating, the issue of bed sharing. There's some factors that have to do with the biological vulnerability of the child. And we sometimes find low-grade subclinical infection in babies, but mostly family history. A family that has had a sibling, a previous death from SIDS in their family, it really increases the rate of following SIDS. And of course, the issue of tobacco and drug use during the pregnancy is also a risk factor. But again, they're associated factors and not causation. So I would like to summarize at this point by correcting some of the misconceptions that have come out from the Le Devoir article. The first one being that all the 12 cases that we have so far means that we have 12 cases of SIDS in the last year. That is not the case. What we know is that we have 12 cases that are being investigated right now. Out of those 12, there are 6 that have been confirmed SIDS, but we're still waiting for the exact diagnosis for the 6 others. So if we consider that for now we have 6 cases of SIDS in the region last year, we cannot say that this represents a significant increase from previous years. Okay, there's an impression, and it may turn out to be this way, but we cannot say that we have a wave of infant mortality at this point in time. So this was the title itself was calling it a wave of infant mortality in Nunavik, and this is wrong. There was also an impression, especially from the chief of police, saying that he had never seen this before. The thing is that this person has been in Nunavik for just a couple of years, but they were, because of the statistical variation of this rate, it's not rare to have years that have higher numbers and then they're followed immediately by a year that have no cases. So, for example, in 2013, we had a year where we have 7 cases of SIDS, and the following year we had just 1 case. So it could be that we happen to be in a high year, but that doesn't mean that it's the start of a big increase. Time will tell what happens. And there's also an impression, some perhaps from the article, that very little is being done in the region, whereas actually, as you will see in a minute, all the interventions that are known to be evidence-based to prevent SIDS, they are recommended, and most of the interventions are being applied in the region. So we'll get to that in a minute. So how can SIDS be prevented? So again, because we don't know the exact cause, we work with the factors that we know, and we say, well, we try to change those factors and say, well, if those factors are not there, maybe this will decrease the risk of SIDS. So what we know is that the children that are sleeping on their stomach or on their side, that's the most important factor. It appears that a very large proportion of babies with SIDS were being found on their stomach or on their side. Passive smoking is also very present in histories of babies that have died with SIDS. So we recommend that nobody smokes in the house when there's a baby there. The issue of objects in the bed is that often children that have died from SIDS, a certain proportion were either sharing a bed with someone, or there were pillows or covers in the bed, and that might have contributed. But it's very difficult to disentangle whether it's a stuffed animal or a parent there. We're not able to say for sure that bed sharing with a parent, for example, is an obvious factor. It's more the child not being alone on their bed. In terms of vulnerability, biological vulnerability, we see that children that have some brain abnormality are sometimes more at risk of SIDS. The family history, as we mentioned, and sometimes there's not overt infection, but when we do the autopsy, we see that there was a low-grade infection present. So we think that infection might be increasing the risk. In terms of maternal risk factors, what we know is that it's alcohol used during the pregnancy, and the drug that we know that increases the rate are opiates, painkillers, like morphine, for example. We don't have evidence that cannabis is very much involved, but because cannabis is often mixed with tobacco, and smoking during pregnancy is indeed a risk factor, we think that, of course, taking cannabis mixed with tobacco might increase the risk. What we also know from the literature, and this has been known for many, 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 many years, is that SIDS tend to be more frequent in populations that are victims of racism. And so racialized population in the States, it's very well known in the medical literature that Black babies have twice the risk of white babies, and it has nothing to do with genes, because it's true for Black babies, but also all kinds of other ethnic groups. So it's not genetic, but it's really the experience of racial marginalization and poverty. And so for these reasons, SIDS is also noticed to be an increase in indigenous populations, and this is true all over the world. So again, it's not something that is genetic, because indigenous people all over the world do not share the same genetic material. It's really due to social determinants like poverty and reduced access to healthcare services. Now, SIDS is also, therefore, higher in Inuit populations, and Nunavik is not alone. It's true for all Inuit populations in Canada. ITK has done research on the questions, and it is true that over Nunangat, we see that there are fewer babies in Inuit regions that are sleeping on their back. We also know that children in Inuit populations tend to bed share a little bit more, but it's not so much the fact that they're sleeping with an adult, but the fact that when they are sleeping with an adult, they are not being put on their back. They're lying on their side or they're on their stomach on the mother. And this is, and it's probably the fact that they're not on their back more than the fact that there's an adult in the bed that is causing. This needs to be verified, but these numbers seems to be gearing us toward that hypothesis. So knowing this, what can we do to prevent SIDS? Well, of course, what the medical recommendation is that the safest place for a child below 1 year to sleep is alone on their back in their own bed. Now, that doesn't mean that there cannot be some bed sharing, and we'll look at that in a minute. But this is definitely the place where the child is known to be safer is on their own, on their back, in their own crib. The mattress that they're on needs to be flat, firm, and there needs to be no pillows, no loose beddings, no toys. It's very important that there be as smoke-free as possible, not just the room, but the whole house. And this includes tobacco smoking, cannabis smoking, and vaping. So the challenge here is to ask everyone, whatever they smoke, as soon as it creates smoke, they need to be outside. And it doesn't relate only to cigarette smoking. Now, to protect the child and increase their their resistance to infection, we recommend breastfeeding and immunization. And this is really to reduce the risk of infection, which could be associated with SIDS. Of course, good prenatal follow-up with pregnant ladies is important to encourage them to, as much as possible, avoid smoking, alcohol, and drug use during pregnancy. So these are the factors and the recommendations that are that have been published in Canada since 1993. And what we have seen is that this seems to have really helped reduce the risk of SIDS in the Canadian population. The trend of the decline had been started even before the publication, but it really helped to reduce the risk of SIDS. And not so much the risk of other causes of infant mortality. This has been seen in many other Western countries, and we know from Australian research that the main component of the decline is really the infant position. So the fact that children are less and less sleeping on their stomach, so more children sleeping on their back, and that really seems to be driving the decline in SIDS. I'm getting to the end now, so bear with me for just a few more minutes. So what is being done in Nunavik? So, of course, every community has either nurses, midwives, or even physicians that are contributing to the prenatal and postnatal follow-up. And normally it's recommended that we encourage tobacco and substance use cessation during pregnancy. They're supposed to be detected and proposed support for stopping smoking or at least reducing. there should be a focus also on the fact that in a house where there's a young baby, people should really be smoking outside, and that includes cannabis smoking. There's some efforts at promoting breastfeeding, and there's some teaching that is being done in the immediate postnatal period to actually teach parents safe sleeping tips. Access to immunization for young children is very good in Nunavik, so we can say that basically in terms of prevention, the basics is there. Now, what we know is that when we actually do family support, the type of Ilagiluta program, we can do a more comprehensive counseling and we can support families a little better. So that seems to help as well. What is also important in terms of clinical services is that grieving families have access to care. Now, what can happen during the counseling to young mothers regarding cessation of smoking or sleeping with their baby could be that the counseling is difficult because the young mothers are living in difficult contexts and they're not always able to follow the recommendation. And what is recommended is that we have the type of counseling that is very respectful and maintains the relationship of trust with the client. So motivational interviewing techniques that is also culturally safe, where you maintain at all costs the trust with the client is what's important, because the worst thing that can happen is that the client doesn't want to see you anymore because they find you too forceful on imposing your way of seeing things. And if they don't come to see you anymore, then you can no longer help that family. And that respect and that trust means you also understand that many families have live in conditions where buying a crib, placing a crib in the room that is overcrowded can be very difficult. And that if the families are living in with some other people, it can be extremely difficult to impose the no smoking indoors rule. And so what is recommended is that you really work with your client to see what's reasonable for them, what's possible for them to do, and any small success or any accomplishments should be celebrated. It's not they do everything or they're bad. It's like everything that you can do to reduce your risk really helps. We also have to realize that in Inuit traditional culture, bed sharing is very important. And what the literature says is that even though the crib is the safest place, there are ways of sleeping with your baby that is safe. Not only it can be safe, but it really improves the longevity or the duration of the breastfeeding. So that's also important. So if the mothers want to bed share, what is important to tell them is not, no, 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 crib is the only place, is crib is the best place, but if you want a bed share, make sure your baby is sleeping on his back, close to you, that the bed is free of pillows, and that there is a reasonable distance between you and the wall, and that the baby is not overdressed, and that the mother has not used alcohol or drugs, because this may be when she inadvertently can crush the baby in her sleep. An important aspect that I would like to say, and again, this is almost at the end, is that because we don't know the cause of SIDS, we cannot blame the parents of doing this or that or not having done this and that. SIDS comes from an overlap of risk factors, and we can never pinpoint which of the risk factor has really caused SIDS. That's not our knowledge we have. And therefore, when SIDS occur in a family, it's very important that we do not blame them and that we help them heal from their sadness, their anger, and their confusion. There are many resources out there that can be used, and I think Isabel will speak about the possibility of actually producing a toolbox soon that can be made available to you. So I will stop here and open up for questions.
Well, Faishka, I can add already the part about what we're doing right now. We are preparing a toolbox on sudden infant death syndrome prevention to be used mainly by interveners that do not have access to SIP Ilahiluta programs in their villages. So everybody who's doing prenatal, postnatal follow-up, children follow-up, we will send to the nursing and other partners toolbox on the everything that was mentioned today and other teaching tools and support tools in order for interveners to have more options with their clients when it comes to prevention. We are available also. If you need anything, you can reach out to us. And I will leave it open now if there's any question, like Faishka just said. Well, there seems to be no questions for now. That's great. I'm happy you guys were here. And if you need any follow-up on the topic, please reach out.
So thank you very much for your participation. We will be sending the PowerPoint, and we'll keep you informed of how we can have, you can access the recording if ever some of your colleagues want to have the presentation and the voiceover. I see Miuyak. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Have a good weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.